Welcome to the Free From Mummies podcast, brought to you by Kate and Jade, mates, mums, and allergy and asthma advocates.
Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of the Free From Mummies podcast. If this is your first time joining us, then welcome. We are so pleased that you are here. And if you are returning, yay, we're really pleased that you are back. In this episode, we are joined by Faye from Rockabye Reflux, and we talk all things reflux, from silent reflux to treatment, symptoms, and sleep, that all important sleep. So if you feel like this is something that you can relate to or something that might help you or be relevant, then please do stick around because we would love to have you. As always, we recommend that you do not change anything without speaking to your own healthcare provider first, though Faye offers lots of helps and tips and guidance that might just help to point you in the right direction. So we hope that you can find somewhere nice and comfy to sit, get yourself a nice hot drink, and we hope that you can relax and enjoy this episode. Thank you once again for joining us, and enjoy. So today we are absolutely honoured to be joined by Faye, who is the mummy to beautiful Mally and founder of Rockabye Reflux. Hello, Faye.
Hello.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
That's okay. I'm excited to be here.
I'm a huge fan of your page, Faye. Honestly, I wish it had been around when Quill was little. Even though he's older, I've learned so much from what you've shared. So just thank you.
I wish I'd been around when Mally was little.
True. I'm sorry you've had that experience to put you in this position, to be honest. But thank you for using it to do such good.
Yeah, your page is it's so relatable, really, reading through pretty much all of your posts is like, yep.
Yeah.
I love the reels that you've done as well. Yeah. There's so many, like, I don't know where you get the inspiration for reels. I really want to do them, but I'm just like, I don't know how to even begin with them.
I struggle with them, to be fair. I feel like I'm doing less now than I used to. I think when I was trying to get the page up and running, I was like doing a lot, and now I'm like, oh my god, not real. I need to make myself presentable.
Oh, they're so fab though. I love them. Faye, would you like to start us off with what your inspiration was behind Rockabye Reflux?
Yes, so it was basically Mally. So she was born in May 2020, so the start of lockdown pandemic life. We had pretty traumatic birth and then went home, feeding was horrible, and reflux started pretty much straight away and had no support. I, you know, told the usual sugar out of it, here's some medication. She had cow's milk allergy. It basically, I won't bore you with a really long story because I could talk for hours about it, but she was very unsettled for a very long time. And I came across Anya Homer, who is the baby reflux lady. I read her book and was like, oh, she does infant reflux training. So maybe I'd sort of half started to work things out from the book. And then I was like, I'd love to just be able to provide more support for parents and also learn more for my own journey as well. So I just took the plunge, did the course, did the training, finished sorting out my daughter. And it changed my life, basically, because I realized I didn't have to just kind of wait it out and hope that things would get better. And it's just kind of grown from there, really. Like, what I wanted out of the business has gone way beyond what I imagined in like 6 months. But yeah, so it's been good.
Fantastic. So I saw that you're a registered nurse as well. Did that kind of put you in good stead for doing your reflux training, the training that you've done?
So I think she says you don't have to be like a registered healthcare professional, you know, but I think probably, yeah, because I think my general understanding of the body maybe was pretty good. And the way you, when you do like consultations with parents, I guess I'm really used to talking to people about kind of medical stuff, do you know, like that. I don't know, that I think there's just a way that you get used to talking as a nurse, and the way you explain things, and so I think it did. I definitely think it helped, but at the moment I'm not nursing anymore because this has taken up off. I've still got my pin, I'm still registered, but I'm not practicing in the NHS.
Well, you must be so proud to have achieved all that.
It's intense though.
You know what, it highlights though such a gap within NHS services, doesn't it? You know,
yeah,
that it's a great thing that you were there to offer that service for parents. Me and Kate, we had experience of being turned away from GPs at multiple times. Did you find your confidence was there because you were a nurse, or did you waver as well as a parent?
Oh God, no, I massively wavered. Like, I was a mess. I was a complete and utter mess. I had no confidence in myself. I didn't bond with Molly for a really long time while I was working through the reflux and allergy journey. Like, I had zero confidence. I remember we made an appointment with the GP to ask for amino acid formula for Molly, and I was so petrified of being turned away that although they were only letting one parent into the surgery at the time because COVID, I basically made him ring up and just demand that we both went in, because I was like, they're gonna fob me off, you know, really panicked. And he came in, and to be fair, the GP was actually really good, but I'm like, was that because Alex was there?
Yeah, you know, like, absolutely everything, doesn't it?
Probably more knowing what I know, but then it's probably had a knock-on effect. I haven't had to speak to them for ages, to be fair. That's so I don't actually know whether it would make a difference now, to be honest. I'm not sure about that one.
Do you know what, it's interesting, you know, the fact that you've got such medical experience that it's still
We'd been knocked down when Molly was 5 days old. She was like floppy and unresponsive, and we went back into hospital 5 or 6 days old, and then I just got asked like, oh, is she your first? And I was like, well, she is, but she still was floppy and unresponsive.
Completely irrelevant, isn't it? It's just a question that's asked so frequently to people, and it's scary. And I remember seeing your stories not that long ago about gaslighting and how many people commented on that.
Oh my god,
gaslit. It's really sad.
I get more responses from those type of question boxes than I do from just general reflux ones, like people's stories and experiences of gaslighting and being turned away, being fobbed off. But
it's really difficult. You mentioned there about going on to an amino acid. Did Molly have allergy-related reflux then?
So it was multiple factor related. Right. You know, hers was like, we had a traumatic birth, so that contributed. She had a lot of antibiotic exposure. I had antibiotic exposure in pregnancy, during labour, whilst breastfeeding. She had antibiotics directly after birth. Then early introduction of formula, like supplementing due to like difficulties breastfeeding. I think it was just a multitude of things. And then so she has a very limited diet, and I think some of it is from being on omeprazole for a long time, because that also increases your risk of allergies. So she
does
was,
it wow.
yeah yeah
they by, don't tell you this
no yeah. it by quite a lot actually There are like long-term side effects to being on it, but basically I think her gut health from like long-term PPI use, from antibiotics at a young age, from different formulas and things like that, I think her gut health was basically a mess, and we're still working through that. So she has a really restricted diet. I think what's she now, like dairy, soya, gluten, beef, tomatoes. She struggles with like, there are kind of allergens, and then but she also struggles just difficulty digesting other foods, like certain fruits and veggies and weird and wonderful things like berries and things will set her off. She basically has a really limited diet now. Still, I haven't started like the milk ladder yet, because I spoke to a private dietitian after the NHS one told me that I was going to cause her problems by not doing the milk ladder, and I was like, I've literally only just got her sorted. I am not going anywhere near cow's milk protein. I spoke to a private dietitian, and she was like, no, she was so bad for so long, like just give her time. Like, I'm working with a nutritionist and giving her like prebiotics and probiotics, trying to like heal her gut. So I'm just not doing it at the moment, basically, until her gut is a lot calmer. Like, she's still a bit windy and things now, even.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh,
and it's scary to introduce those things anyway, isn't it? Ladders terrify me.
Yeah. Let's stay away from the ladders.
Stable. I don't want to poison you right now.
Yeah.
I know.
I really don't. And yeah, that gut is so sensitive. It takes so long for it to calm. I feel Quill's like non-IG things were chaos until he was about two, and then we started to get a lot more things back into his diet.
That's what I think. And their digestive maturity better when they're two as well. So yeah. I'm just not in a big rush. There's no evidence. Yes, there's evidence with like nuts and fish and things, but with cow's milk, there's no evidence to say that early introduction lowers their risk of being allergic later on. So I'm like, she'll pass it when I feel she's like ready. She's ready to do it. You know?
And there's such a great quality of vegan products out there now that it makes life a lot easier than I imagine it would have done years ago to be living with cow's milk allergy.
Yeah, definitely. There seems to be loads of free from stuff.
Yeah, I was saying this to Loz the other day, like even the difference between when we had Teddy in 2015 to now, there is so much more. Like I went and to Sainsbury's and I managed to get like Halloween chocolates and like with a big choice of Halloween chocolates, you know, not just like the one rejected chocolate left from the girl. Like every year it just gets better and better. I mean, you don't want to have to be limited in your choices, obviously, to the with allergies and things like that, but if you have to be, as we are, it's nice to have all these choices.
I also think at the moment, like, a few people have said to me, like, oh, you know, bless her, she can't have, like, cake on her birthday or, like, this and that. And I'm like, but she doesn't know any different anyway at the moment. Like, so I'd prefer her to not know that those things existed at the moment. She's less likely to crave them then. So I'm quite happy with her not wanting to eat crisps and chocolate and ice cream at the moment.
No, it is. It's a good thing. I've said this previously with this stuff in Quill's diet that he would have never had if he'd not had the allergy journey that we've had. So, you know, it's not all bad. So, in your experience then, Faye, what have you seen the link between allergies and reflux?
Basically, like if the body perceive something as an allergen, it will try and remove it. So that would be reflux. So reflux is like defined as involuntary regurgitation of stomach contents into the esophagus and out of the mouth. So reflux usually happens as a result of either aerophagia, so like air swallowed either during like crying or feeding, or it happens as a result of like allergies and intolerances. So the body is literally trying to get rid of something that it doesn't want to be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the main kind of connection. But then I find that, how do I word this? I find that in my experience, air masks a lot of allergy symptoms. So a lot of babies go down their allergy like hole. And actually I work with them and it's likely not allergy related. It's more air related and feeding issues. And there's such a big crossover with like air and allergy symptoms, because air can cause vomiting, air can cause, you know, being windy, poor latch in breastfed babies can cause like green poo, mucousy poo, loose poo, constipation, all of these kind of typical allergy symptoms. You can get congestion symptoms as a result of aerophagia induced reflux. Like there's a ton of kind of crossover stuff, but there's definitely a connection in terms of the body wants to get rid of an allergen, so it causes that regurgitation. But yeah, there is a big crossover, actually. It's weird, more so than I expected when I started.
It's fascinating, isn't it, how it all interlinks. So we see it really obviously now, because his reflux symptoms are so well controlled that when he has a non-IG reaction, his reflux is really bad. And it's like, well, you know, the link between them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you think, oh, it's gone, and we're still on PPIs at the moment, weaning down by half a dose at the moment each night.
Yeah.
But it's interesting what you mentioned before about the links with PPI and allergies. I never, ever knew that.
Yeah. That's not scaremongering. Like, if some babies need them, I feel like, I feel bad now. I don't want to like scaremonger people, but it's more just from what I've learned in terms of like, it annoys me as well that side effects of medications are never really discussed with parents either.
Yeah.
Especially when the cause ends up being something like a tongue tie or a traumatic birth, and then babies are medicated unnecessarily for that reason. Do you know what I mean? You can get, like you said, like you could get the regurgitation, and yeah, like where the gut is irritated by an allergen and that causes that regurgitation as well.
Yeah.
Silent reflux again can also happen as a result of like air as well.
Right.
So
okay,
it's working out which is based on what is going on.
Because two of my three had silent reflux. I only had one very sickly baby. And yeah, I just kind of winged it really. Like you said, with the GPs and things, I was given medications, Gaviscon and Omeprazole. They didn't make a massive load of difference.
No.
Which was what kind of steered me more towards, especially with Aurora, my youngest, it more to be in allergy than reflux, because the reflux medication wasn't making any difference whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I found that through diet, we've kind of managed that a bit more. Though Aurora's still a bit of a mystery to me. I've still not got to the bottom of everything with her.
Yeah.
Things are definitely better at the moment, but it seems to be more like the silent refluxy symptoms.
Yeah, it's like where there's, well, it depends where it's coming from. Like if it's an allergen, it's trying to push the stomach contents up to remove them. But then if it's air, that it just depends on like the pressure in the stomach with reflux, like how much pressure there is as a result of air will force those stomach contents either into the esophagus and then the baby will like swallow them back down, or they'll come out of the mouth as vomiting. So they're basic, silent reflux and reflux are kind of like the same thing, but one involves vomiting and one involves them swallowing it back down.
Right, okay.
I think silent reflux, I don't know, this is because some people probably shoot me for this, but I think silent reflux is worse, because I think when they're tiny, it's harder to know what it is.
Yeah.
Like when they're actively vomiting, you know that they're vomiting, yes, and that's why they're pain. Whereas when they're just grimacing and screwing up their face, I didn't know what that was with that.
No.
I was like, why does she keep pulling that face? You know, like what?
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful, because it's like a guessing game, isn't it?
And we did lots of those things like baby massage, gripe water, you know, you can try exhaust,
Infocol,
hire the cot.
Oh, no. I've literally just written a post about holding babies upright today to put out this week, because I've talked about it before, but I have such a vivid memory of spending an entire day deciding that I should just hold Mally upright all day. I even got Alex to hold her upright while I got her dressed. Like she was about 5 weeks old, so we were like in the midst of like really 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 bad, and now I look back, I'm like, that was so ridiculous, like to hold her while I got her dressed.
Survive,
it was
you?
Just and it made absolutely no difference, absolutely none. She was still really unsettled and screaming constantly.
Yeah. Or the worst is when you kind of do everything. So you've done the Infocol, the gripe water, the cot's been behind you, you've done this, you've burped them, you've done this, that, and the other. And then, like, they actually are okay throughout the afternoon. And I'm like, oh no, which one was it?
Yeah.
What actually helped? I liked your post, mate, about that, about Googling, you know, Dr. Google.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. It's just a minefield, and you're just in there. I'll try this, I'll do this.
Yeah.
The only thing that helped through, and everyone who knew us at the time, like, comments on it because they laughed it. If they came round, I'd be sat on a gym ball and I would just be bouncing him all day.
Oh,
that's how we got through the days. Like, that's for months. I didn't sit on a sofa, I just sat on that gym ball. Yeah. Good for the legs. But
I was going to say, have you got good glutes now?
Not now, no. Definitely not now, but yeah, just what you do to survive the days at that time. But I think you made really good points as well about on your post how reflux is a symptom.
Yeah,
it is. And you don't, I did not realise that. I was really not aware of that in the early days.
No, I mean, I wasn't, to be honest. It's because the act, as I said, like the act of reflux is involuntary regurgitation. And then what happens is that babies who are more distressed get labelled with good, like gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Yeah.
But it's not a disease, like it's a symptom of something else going on. So something is causing it, whether it's an allergy, whether it is air, whether it is tension from birth trauma, whether it's antibiotic exposure, like it does. Like 30 different causes and contributing factors to infant reflux. So it's working out which one or ones it is. It's usually like multifactorial and there's a few things going on as a general rule.
That isn't a conversation our GP ever had with us. We had trauma, birth, C-section, antibiotic, all these things, but they were never discussed when we were going to the GPs.
I think it's just lack of... Like, it's not in there. Like, the NICE guidelines for reflux are, this is what you do. I think the first stage is, like, feeding management, like a feeding assessment, which never happens. Then it's, like, thickened milk if they're on formula, which, okay, not great for the digestive system. If they're breastfeeding, obviously, they skip that stage and then they get given, like, Gaviscon, then formula fed babies go to Gaviscon and alginate therapy, then it goes to PPI medication, then it goes to referral to a paediatrician, which takes however long, and also result of paediatrician conversation, more medication maybe.
And the medication is so difficult to give to breastfed babies as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not. And also none of it is addressing why they have it. So unfortunately, the NHS is definitely not on board with a more holistic approach to reflux at the moment. But I have had babies who have been on every single medication under the sun and not got anywhere. And then they've worked with me and they've been reflux free. So it just shows.
Definitely. Yeah, I remember at one point with Aurora, the dosage that they've given her is in like a percentage within 100 mils. So you kind of got to divide it down. Mm. And they ended up giving me saying that she has had 13 mils in a couple of week old baby. I was trying to syringe this medication into her and it was going everywhere. And it was just an absolute nightmare.
Mm. Yeah, it's not great.
That was the one that, you know, goes to like tiny little red balls.
Omeprazole or Lansoprazole? Lansoprazole.
There was one medication that I know they stopped giving during lockdown.
Oh, ranitidine.
Yeah, it was. So we skipped that one and we went on to the next one. So I can't even remember what it was now. But yeah, it was so. I've tried to blank it out clearly.
I think it just becomes a blur, doesn't it?
When it does.
Things, you're like, oh, what was it?
Yeah, I just remember being there with like four syringes, just like full, trying to get it in this tiny baby. It was just like, nah.
No, not spitting it back out. And then you don't know if they've had the right amount.
Yeah,
I hated giving the omeprazole.
And we still have those tablets and dissolve it in the water.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Just such a faff. Two and a half. Well, he went on to those at 11 weeks and he's now 3.5. So, yeah, we've been doing it for some time now.
Is he all right taking it? Like,
he's,
does he mind?
He's to it now. Yeah. We had a battle, obviously, for a long time. But he just grabs it and takes it. Yeah.
Oh, bless him.
He's strangely, and I don't know whether it's a scary thing because he's strangely really good at taking tablets. He won't try new things. He will not try new foods. He's like so food averse with trying new things. We found some jelly and I was like, do you want to try this? He was like, no. If he has a new medication, he's like, no, I'll take that. I'm fine. So, I'm like, that's, is this so a funny, really worrying thing for future? The only one he's not liked, which I remember really liking as a kid, was the antibiotic if he's had a chest flare up, you know.
The yellow one.
Yeah.
The amoxicillin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the nicest one you've had. That's a...
Absolutely banging that.
I love it. I used to make it up for the babies and like, I worked in A&E for a while and I'd be smelling it like...
Is it just like pure sugar?
Amazing.
So I'm like, why are you so strange? This, you know, you'll take that crushed up tablet, but not the strange. I don't know. But
so, Faye, what are your top tips for parents that might be struggling with reflux at the moment?
Top tips would be, starting out, give yourself some grace because it's never like a quick fix with reflux, or very rarely. So just give yourself some grace because it's really hard. Get help, get support. Don't take no for an answer, as in don't take the your baby will grow out of it for an answer. Because there is a reason for it and there are underlying causes for it. But my big one is give yourself some grace, because it's hard regardless of like what stage you're at. Even now I look back and I'm like, oh my god, that, what a time, like I don't think I could do that again.
I read your story, Faye, on your website, and it's it's so honest, and I know that it will, you know, it resonates with me, and I know it will, like, with many of your other allergy families that you know, listen to this podcast. I'm sure they'll also be able to relate to lots of the things that you share.
It was a hard time. I was weirdly talking about it earlier with Alex, like, I was like, what if we had another one and they were bad? Like, it's scary, the thought of going on thinking you might have another baby who it's mad, the things that it affects at this point, even though we are well away from all of it now.
It's just relentless, isn't it, those early days, because it, like you say, it isn't a quick fix, and anything you try takes a while to get in, and those days are long, the nights are long, the amount of tears that you have during those times, your child's tears, your tears, everyone's in tears, and it's tough on your relationship as well, like,
oh god,
pushes you to extremes. You just, so
deprivation of a reflux baby is next level, isn't it?
No comparison. Going to sleep, and then they're awake again. It just bless them.
There's so many kind of mental health side effects, I think, that comes from it, like even just comparison to other babies, and you know, like looking at friends' babies and thinking, why are they happy and smiling and not had any issues, and why have I got all this baby with all these issues and all these problems, and they're unsettled and not enjoying the newborn stage. It affects your bond in some cases with your baby, like there's just huge knock-on effects, partly through being gaslighted because it knocks your confidence, like there's such a big hormonal and emotional shift and physical shift when you have a baby as it is, to add on all of this is just massive, absolutely massive.
And there's a cultural pressure, isn't there, you know, get your baby in a cart, get, you know, they do this, a good baby, and it's like, what is a good baby? Is that, I hate that term.
Don't get me started on all of that. It's actually something, like, with consultations with parents, it's something that I cover, is sleep, and especially if they're younger and they're like, you know, oh, they won't lie in the Moses basket, or they hate the pram, and I'm like, don't put them in there. I'm like, just hold them. Like, I know it's exhausting, but I was like, I guarantee they will cry less if you are holding them, and you baby wear, and you skin to skin, and you hold, you know, you keep them close as nature intended. And I was that parent. I was like, why won't she lie in the Moses basket? Like, I felt such a pressure to get her to nap alone, and all of these, like, cultural things, like you say. And now I'm like, oh, why did I stress about all that? Why didn't I just sit on the sofa watching Netflix older? Just,
enjoy those
I embarrassingly read Gina Ford's book before I had Teddy, and I was like, yep, this is gonna be me, the routine, the blackout blind, this is who I am. And then that book,
it's awful
with us.
It's awful. Someone gave it to Alex for us to read. I never actually read it because it was at the time when I went off maternity leave, but we have visitors around, they were like, oh, did you read that? We read it, it was quite good. But I since have learned, I'd flicked through it and been like, oh my god, who is this?
Yeah, you don't need the pressure of, you just got to, I think when there's issues going on, you've just really got to go with the baby, follow the baby's lead, really, haven't you?
Yeah.
You can't put them in a routine from day one. And anyone who knows me now will know that I am the exact opposite of Gina Ford. I literally do whatever my kids want. Yeah, Aurora still sleeps in our bed, great.
It is. You've got to ride that wave. Because you know, I remember just feeling like an utter failure. Like, what was I doing wrong? Like, why is my child not? He would only sleep on me and Simon. That's the only way he would be comfortable. Bless him, because he was obviously in so much pain. But you think, oh, why? And you don't realise that they're just in pain. Bless them.
Yeah.
But even in terms of like the stress, like it's a stressful situation to try and get a young baby to go to sleep in a cot or a Moses basket.
Yeah.
And stress impacts reflux too. So like they feel stressed when they are separated from their caregivers, because nature designed them to be alerted, because you know, thousands of years ago, if they were left alone on a flat surface away from a caregiver, might get eaten by lions and tigers. So that, even that side of it, like everything comes into play. I'm like, just hold them, baby wear. If you need your hands, baby wear. And I know it's like sweaty and sticky, but that does really, really help, because you make sure that they're less likely to be overtired, because when they're overtired, they cry and they scream because they're overstimulated. And when they cry and scream, reflux gets worse because they're inhaling a ton of air. So that's my other tip, actually, to add, go back to the other question, is baby wear, hold them as much as you possibly can.
I think Emily's really good at that. What you mentioned before, Fox and Moon Fox in the moon. Sleep. Yeah, she really promotes all of that, doesn't she, around baby sleep and what we think is normal, society thinks is normal, is not. Just do what's best for your baby and you.
I know, like, whatever happens to just being, like, what I always just think, like, what happened before social media and all these accounts telling us to, like, you know, get your baby napping in the cot for this amount of time. I'm like, this didn't used to exist. Like, what happened was just instinctually parenting and parenting because it feels right, because what we're doing feels right, you know?
Yeah, I read actually something funny, you know, when Instagram and Facebook and WhatsApp all went down the other day.
Yeah.
Like, I went round to my neighbour's house with my tea and was like, look, this is what I'm having for my tea. Like, you know, we lived before it, you know, we know how. Comment on my tea, what do you think?
Yeah, that's amazing. So true, though. So true. I kept habitually clicking on Instagram, though, all evening, even though I knew it was down. I could not help it.
And it's the most bizarre thing, like, my phone just kept crisp.
Same.
Get on with your life.
I know. I was the same.
Oh, geez.
It was a big wake-up call to stop going on my phone so much, to stop going on Instagram so much.
Oh, I'm so guilty of that.
Yeah, I think reading through Facebook and Instagram as well, ironically, told me that people were like, yeah, let's not go on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Yeah, oh, that's where you get told to do
There's
it.
A message in there somewhere. I'm not sure what it is.
Oh, at the same time, though, you know, we get a lot from Instagram, like the amount of great accounts that I've seen on there, including you guys. So,
oh, thank you. To be fair, I always think, like, I run my business off Instagram, so I'm very grateful for it.
Like, yeah.
But it's definitely, like, all consuming, isn't it, when you're in it, DMs and
I think it's because it's accessible 24/7.
Yeah.
So you can't ever really switch. I mean, you can not look at your phone, but you need your phone for other stuff.
Yeah, you have to be strict with boundaries, don't you? Yeah.
I've literally was going to say boundaries. This normally I'll say I'm not going on at the weekend, but then at the moment, like this weekend, I end up just flicking onto it anyway of the weekend and replying to messages, whereas this weekend I've been really, I can see the DM requests going up and up and up, and the red notification symbol, which really, really agitates me. But I've just refused to leave it because I'm like, I never get away from it, and it's a burden that I even, not a burden, like, emotionally for me, I have to have downtime as well, so I have tried to kind of respect my own boundaries for this weekend and not even open messages.
No, you know, when you reach that point, and you're still going through it, aren't you, with Mally as well, so you have to put those in place as well.
Definitely. I'm running the business, plus I don't have childcare for her at the moment, so
that is really interesting. How do you get anything done? You are a superhero.
Yeah, superman there.
It's tricky at the moment, but we just moved house and, like, moved area. I tried to settle her in with one childminder, and I was like, she's nice, but I just don't know. And then we're moving house again next week now, and I was like, it's so much change, I just don't know.
Oh my god.
I know.
I'm not doing this ever.
Well, we had to, it was like temporary accommodation we're in at the moment, so we're in a flat while we wait for the house to be ready, because we're buying a new build. But it's been a nightmare, and I was like, I just don't know if I want to like do too many changes at once with her. So also I was like, I just want to enjoy her and make my life work how I want it to work. Yeah. So I basically work while she naps, and I work every single evening and most weekends. So, but it's fine. I'm alive.
So. Yes. Thank you, Faye, so much for joining us tonight. Like this chat, I think people will get a lot out of it. You've covered much, and, you know, topics that I think will resonate with so many people.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very honoured to be asked. I've enjoyed chatting to you guys.
Yeah, it's lovely to meet you. So do you keep in touch?
I will, definitely.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care.
I am very honoured to share that my child, who is usually very busy running around everywhere, has actually recorded a tip tonight. For anyone who doesn't capture it, the last word is friendly, so checks it's friendly. But yeah, here he is.
Hello, I'm Chloe. I always think my food is Chloe Fun.
Oh, thank you so much, Faye, for coming along. It was really good talking to you, and Kate and I learned so much. Your knowledge is incredible. For anyone wanting to find out more, go along to Rockaby Reflux on Instagram and you'll see all Faye's services and great tips on there. We'd love to know what you guys thought, because that's why we enjoy doing it. So send us an email at thefreefrommummiespodcast@gmail.com. or send us a DM on Insta if you're on there. We do recommend that you seek medical support before making any changes with your child. So if you did hear anything of Faye's advice, do have a chat with your doctor first. And if you need any mental health support, we put something on our show notes as well, so check that out. But yeah, we'll see you next time.